Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamu ala ibadi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la yaskhar qaumun min qaumin asa an yakunu khayran minhum wa la nisa'un min nisa'in asa an yakunna khayran minhun. Wa qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inna Allah ta'ala la yanzuru ila sawrikum wa amwalikum walakin innama yanzuru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum. Sadaqallahu al-azim wa sadaqa rasuluhu an-nabiyul karim wa nahnu ala dhalika lamina ash-shahidin wash-shakirin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Respected brothers and elders, we had been discussing the signs of taqwa and the signs of piety. We had mentioned a few signs, namely following the ways of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Secondly, to read our salat with jama'at in the masajid. Thirdly, we had mentioned that to abstain from those activities that bring fame and name. Fourthly, we were busy mentioning recognizing the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and appreciating the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the fourth sign of the pious people and the people that are righteous, that every ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is recognized by them, whether it is the health, wealth, prosperity, name, standing in society, the reputation, the honor, whatever name that Allah, a person enjoys, attributes it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he confesses that this is from the side of Allah, it's a bounty of Allah, gift of Allah, blessing of Allah, a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never at any stage does a person attribute those to himself, that I am the person that was deserving of this, why I'm worthy of this, and I was supposed to be given this, I'm worthy of this, and why not? No. Everything is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person recognizes the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and together with that, the person is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're also mentioning that a person should not feel at any stage that it is in lieu of my ibadat or my worship of Allah, Allah is blessing me with this, because that ibadat also is with the tawfiq of Allah, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, the worship of ours is so limited, and the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unlimited. Thirdly, our worship, how can it fare in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? On one side we have the majesty and greatness, glory and grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, we have the defective ibadat of ourselves. How can it be even presented in the court of Allah? It is the favor of Allah when he accepts this. So a person should never feel that in lieu of my acts of worship, I am getting this. No. We should always acknowledge that this is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not deserving of it. It is the great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should be, this is the frame of mind, the mindset of a mu'min or a person when it comes to the ni'mats of Allah. How should we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Firstly, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our hearts. We should be extremely grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the inner recesses of our heart that, oh Allah, you have granted me these ni'mats. You are the one that is the have granted me this ni'mat. It is only from you. Find a masoon dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma ma asbaha bi min ni'matin aw bi ahadin min khalqik fa minka wahdaka la sharika lak fa lakal hamdu wa lakash shukr. Oh Allah, whatever ni'mat, ma asbaha bi min ni'matin, whatever ni'mat I have enjoyed in the morning, aw bi ahadin min khalqik, whatever ni'mat is bestowed on any one of the creation, fa minka wahdaka la sharika lak, it is only from you, Allah, wahdaka, only solely from you, la sharika lak, you have no partner, falaka alhamdu wa laka shukr, for you is all thanksgiving and for you is all gratitude, for you is all praise and to you is all gratitude. Comes that if a person reads this dua in the morning, in the evening, it is as if he has thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon him. So to have a grateful heart, a heart full of gratitude for the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I mention this always, that especially in our elderly folk, it was so common that you ask them, how are you feeling? They used to say, Allah ka lakh lakh shukr hai, Allah ka bahut karam hai, Allah ka bahut fazal hai. They used to express this from their tongues, that how are you feeling? Oh, alhamdulillah, all gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has given me such good health. I am so well. Even in their sicknesses, I have mentioned, I have seen some people, one person has gone completely senile. You ask him, how are you? Allah ka shukr hai. There's shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in that state, when he cannot even recognize the people around him, but this was the expression. Why? Lifelong, this was the attitude, that these ni'mats are from Allah, and he should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firstly, From the bottom of our hearts, we should be grateful for the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, we should express it with our tongues as well. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Or at least alhamdulillah. Like we had mentioned, some of our kabirs, every ni'mat, they have taught this lesson that every ni'mat that we enjoy, we should say alhamdulillah. Got up in the morning, you are sound, alhamdulillah. You went and relieved yourself, alhamdulillah. All systems will go. You came out of the house, you made your wuzu, alhamdulillah. You reached the masjid safely, alhamdulillah. Entered the masjid, you got a nice place, alhamdulillah. You got the first rakat or the takbir tahrima, alhamdulillah. You completed the namaz and alhamdulillah, nothing happened, nothing unforeseen happened, alhamdulillah. You went home, reached home safely, alhamdulillah. Every single ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you repeat alhamdulillah and say alhamdulillah. This conscientizes you of the ni'mats and also makes you a grateful servant in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One riwayat is mentioned that person, that every morsel that he takes, he prays Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person who says, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Every morsel he takes, he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So simple to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a tongue. Some of our kabirs mentioned when they used to go off to sleep at night. Before sleeping, they used to ponder and reflect about the whole day. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the ni'mats from the beginning right up to the ending, and enumerating the ni'mats and mentioning Allahumma laka alhamdu. Oh Allah, I thank you for waking up safely, for going to job safely, for coming home safely, for having good everything being safe around me, and for all the other ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He had bestowed, repeating that and thereafter going off to sleep. Enumerating on the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, those people that have become the means of the ni'mat. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a human being. That person becomes a means of that ni'mat. So we should be grateful to him as well. It's mentioned in the hadith, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. Person that is not appreciative and grateful to the human being is not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So we should thank the person who has become the means of that ni'mat as well. Thank him also. And fourthly, to use that ni'mat in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Our respected Shaykh always uses this verse of the Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that fear Allah, adopt piety and taqwa, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so that you may be from the grateful servants. Meaning that actual gratitude is to be pious and to fulfill and use that ni'mat in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know, some we grant something to our wives, our children, our offspring, sometime our relatives or a needy person. When you see that person abusing what we have granted him, what happens? This stirs us up and we find the feelings of anger. And this feelings of anger, when we see that this person is disappreciating this ni'mat or this gift or this bounty or this favor of mine, I have given it to him to use it in a particular manner and he is abusing it now. What do a person feel like doing? Feels like taking that ni'mat or that gift or that favor away from that person, because that person is not appreciating it. The same way we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all these ni'mats, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we use the ni'mats in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have truly appreciated these ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever it may be, the eyes, the hands, the wealth, the time, and the position we have in society, the integrity, the respect, whatever ni'mat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed us, we use it for the akhirat, use it for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. That use whatever ni'mat Allah has given you here to obtain the akhirat, to obtain the stages of the akhirat, the rank of the akhirat, the position in the akhirat. So this is the fourth way where we express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the fourth sign of the people that are pious. Not only do they read their salat, etc., but they acknowledge the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their ni'mats. Fifthly, we find that the signs of the pious people is this, that the people, they do not poke fun at other people and other nations. And this is one explicit command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّنْ قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّنْ نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنَّ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the prohibition of ridiculing each other. And this is mentioned separately for the males. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ أَوْ يُهُ بِلِيبٌ. Let not a nation from amongst you ridicule another nation. Other words, do not ridicule each other. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. Those people that you are ridiculing, perhaps they are better than yourself, better than you. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the woman that, O believing woman, do not poke fun and ridicule and mock another group of women, perhaps they are better than you. Here we find the order is given separately to the males and separately to the females. Does that not mean that it is permissible for a male to ridicule a male or a female, or it is permissible for a female to mock at a male? No. Some commentators say what is implied here is that normally the gatherings of the males and females are completely separate. It cannot be fathomed that they are intermingling between the males and the females. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed them separately. Some say it is because of emphasis, that like it is important for the male, it is important for the female as well, not to mock each other, not to run down each other, not to belittle each other, not to scoff at each other, not to look down upon the next person and think of him to be low. Through what and how, in which manner? Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah explains, this is not only by virtue or by word of mouth, when a person passes a statement wherein he is mocking the next person or the next nation, or whether it's not only by word of mouth and by the tongue, but even by mimicking them and imitating them and copying them. Sometimes the person wants to copy the next nation or the people to make them look funny. He mocks at them, why? Not with his word, but he acts like them, he behaves like them, he copies them and imitates them, not in that manner either. Nor must he make any references, pointing references to them. Sometimes a person doesn't speak, but he points to a person and he wants to mock that person and ridicule that person and run that person down and belittle him. He points and he points towards that person, or he makes some gestures with his hands that are derogatory and that belittle that nation. This also is not permissible. Similarly, sometimes a person doesn't utter words, but he laughs mockingly at the people around him. This also is not permissible. Similarly, sometimes he does not do anything, but he attracts the attention of others towards that person. Says, look at these people. And mocking at what? Mocking and ridiculing what? Sometimes is a person's looks. Sometimes his face. Sometimes his body. Sometimes his shape. Sometimes his dressing. Sometimes his appearance. Sometimes his attitude. Sometimes his customs. And it can carry on and on. Those things that look funny and does not look normally and ordinary to you or to me, then I begin to mock them. I begin to look down upon a person because of that. This is becoming common in some quarters, we find, because we find here now there's a proliferation and there's people from all areas and all countries that have different customs, different backgrounds, different shapes, different ways, etc. We have no license to look down upon anyone. Here Rasulullah sallallahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, perhaps they are better than those people that are mocking them. Why? Because the criteria is not a person's look. The standard is not a person's looks or his color or his way or his shape or his dressing or his appearance or his word. No, it is his amal and his actions and his worth in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what is embedded in the recesses of his heart, the ikhlas, the love, the connection, the link that he has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So perhaps the nation that you are mocking is worse than that, you are worse than that people that you are mocking. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that to the females as well. We find people like Hazrat Amr bin Sharahbi radiallahu anhu says, if I see a person drinking the milk from the udders of a goat, I will not laugh at him. I will not laugh at him, perhaps I may become like him. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu goes even further. He says, I will not even scoff at a dog. Maybe I will turn into a dog and I become like him. Otherwise, they used to abstain to this degree from mocking, from ridiculing, from looking down, from belittling any person around them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam draws our attention to this, where he mentions the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your looks. Inna Allah ta'ala la yanzuru ila sawarikum. Does not look at your looks, your color, your features, and how handsome and how good looking you are. Wa amwanikum. It does not look at your wealth. Walakin innama yanzuru ila qulubikum wa amalikum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at your hearts and looks at your deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at your hearts and looks at your deeds. That is why you will find the extremely pious person, it makes no difference to them whether what color of person comes to them, what kind of person comes to them, what background a person comes to them from, what nation he comes to them. They treat him with respect and honor and dignity because he's a mu'min, and they do not look down upon that person and do not ridicule that person and do not mock that person, no matter who he is, no matter who he is or from what background he comes. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns against this. So one of the signs of a pious person is this, that he does not poke fun at others. He does not poke fun, he does not ridicule, he does not mock people around him. This was the fifth sign of those people that are pious and those people that have the signs of taqwa. The sixth sign here we find are those people that do not have unfounded suspicion against the Muslim brothers. This also we find in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann, inna ba'da adh-dhanni ithmu. That, O you who believe, abstain from many forms of suspicion, because some forms of suspicion are sin. What is meant here is having unfounded suspicion, baseless suspicion and ill feeling, and having evil thoughts about a Muslim brother, not based on any evidence, etc. This also is a common. In most cases, we find that the suspicion is incorrect and becomes the basis of infighting and disagreement and arguments and misunderstanding and ill feelings in a community. When a person has this feeling, baseless feeling, and it's very, very common. Reminds me of Haji Farooq Rahmatullah Alayh. Once he had mentioned this and gave an example of one person that had gone out in Pakistan to some military service, and thereafter he returned unexpectedly, earlier than expected. When he had come, then he had found his wife to be coming close to the entrance of the house. When he saw this, then he felt otherwise, and he felt funny that I am not even here, I'm not present, and my wife is coming towards the entrance of the house. Then he felt very bad about this. He took out his gun and he shot her on the spot. He shot her on the spot thinking that he had evil thoughts regarding her. Why is she coming towards the entrance of the home in my absence? He says after he had entered, he saw a great serpent and a snake coming just in the vicinity of his wife. Then he understood the wife was trying to get away from the serpent and from the snake, but he had no time. This evil thought had overpowered him, and he had retaliated by taking out his gun and shooting that lady spot dead. Can you imagine? Thereafter, he sat holding his head, full of remorse and regret, but nothing could be done. So we find a person jumps to conclusions sometimes, does not know the reality, does not verify, but he jumps to conclusions and he begins to build the castles of strong feelings, of evil, of hatred, of malice, etc. And whereas you come to know in reality, there was nothing. Very, very simple. Person makes a phone call to somebody, he's not there, he leaves the message. He sees him after 2 or 3 days, that person doesn't respond, doesn't react in any way. This person begins to feel, now this man is avoiding me, doesn't want to reply to my call, and was doing this to me, he's doing that to me, and he begins the feelings of malice, jealousy, hatred come into his heart. After 10 days or 20 days, when he confronts this person says, I was not even informed about your phone call. But yet we find where the matter had gone to. Why? Because we have that ill feeling. In fact, it comes in the hadith that you should have good feelings. Zannu bil mu'minu hasana. Wuzunnu bil mu'minu hasana. Wa kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have good feelings regarding your Muslim brother. You look at the life of the mashaykh, the favorites of Haji Imdadullah rahmatullah alayhi. Sometimes his murid used to come and tell him, Hazrat, certain person was carrying out a certain action of sin or disobedience. He says, no, perhaps you did not see properly. That person is not like that. He will not carry out such an action. Even despite this person seeing it, witnessing it, seeing it with his eyes and coming to report, Hazrat would not accept it. Why? It's to keep his heart clear with regards to the Muslim brothers and have good thoughts about them. So to have evil thoughts about your Muslim brother, so many examples you can give. A person is rushing out of the masjid, he sees you there, doesn't greet you. Thoughts come into your mind, this person has got no respect for me, doesn't greet me. That person may be a sugar patient running towards the toilet, saving himself from soiling himself and disgracing himself. He's rushing or running, this is the emergency. Here we find hundreds of thoughts coming to our mind. This person has did this because of this. So many examples in our everyday life. And this is a tool of shaitan. So he uses it, he makes a person badzan, makes him have evil thoughts and ill thoughts about his Muslim brother. Then we find the enmity coming in, affects a person's deen, etc. So many everyday examples we find. Persons is a wedding of a friend and doesn't invite you. Maybe he had a very small wedding, which is according to the sunnah. We should be pleased and give dua to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make dua when he hears that one sahabi, the Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, conducted a nikah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua for that person because he's keeping with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or he sent you the card, it did not reach you. He sent you the invitation, it did not reach you because of some unforeseen circumstances. Here a person begins to have evil thoughts about him. No, even if he did not invite me, what about it? Make dua for that person. So here we are told that the person, Rasulullah tells us, Iyakum wazzan. Iyakum wazzan, fa inna zan akzabul hadith. Aw kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that abstain from suspicion, because suspicion is the most false speech. It's the most false speech and the most false thing, because the person thinks this could have happened and this could have happened, and in reality that is not the case of affairs. So here we should try and have an open heart with regard to our Muslim brothers. Even if you see a negative notion from that side, a person's chest should be so broad and wide that he should overlook it and give it a good meaning, a good interpretation. Not that the years of friendship now finish off here because the person's got some suspicion, some evil thoughts, or some bad thought about his Muslim brother. On the other hand, if you have a good thought, then for that we get, like the mashayikh always remind us, you get free sawab. And here you are putting yourself into a case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are asked tomorrow in the court of Allah, on what grounds did you have the suspicion regarding a Muslim brother, we have no evidence. But here you will never be asked on what grounds did you have a good thought regarding a Muslim brother. For that you will have sawab in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that another sign of the people that are pious are this, that they do not have ill thoughts, or they do not have unfounded suspicion or perception. They do not have ill feelings except for concrete grounds or for valid grounds. Obviously, things are clear, absolutely clear, that this has happened, and a person gets that feeling, that is different. But here, not based on solid grounds, we have an evil thought regarding our Muslim brother, not permissible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.